He's got an opinion and he's not afraid to share it. Now, sharing his lunch? That's a different story. Here's the healthy skeptic, Dr. Larry Kaskel, MD.
Hi, everybody. I'd like to talk a little bit this afternoon about how one should decide whether or not to go on a medicine for the rest of their lives to lower cholesterol. This happens every day in my practice. I have someone coming in worried about their cholesterol, and I have to, talk them down off the fence and educate them as to the fact that their cholesterol is not the enemy and it's not going to kill them and it may not necessarily need to be treated and that all the things they've heard and learned are not necessarily true. So how does one make that decision? And it requires some education and it requires some homework on your own that you're going to have to do because your doctor may not necessarily want to have the conversation with you and he may just be following guidelines or he may just have to, or she, forgive me, he may just have to, he or she, I keep forgetting, they may just have to check off a box that they're treating your cholesterol because many doctors get paid on their performance and one of their performance measures is getting people's LDL cholesterol to a certain number. So they may just be putting you on this medication as a knee-jerk reflex when in fact you don't need it. In my humble opinion, out of 100 people that are on a statin drug, most likely two of them need it and the other 98% are getting no benefit from it. The problem is the guidelines that are written for who should be treated and who should not be treated are written by physicians. And we would like to believe that these physicians have our best interests at heart, but it's very hard for them to have our best interests at heart when they are being biased by who is paying them to sit on this panel or sit on this decision-making process to determine who should and who shouldn't be treated with statins. The majority of the physicians that write these guidelines are being paid or have been paid in the past by drug companies. And if you ask them outright, are you biased? They may say, no, I'm not biased. I can be conflict-free. Again, in my humble opinion, I don't think one can be conflict-free. And some of this problem was dealt with by some of the most recent guideline writers saying, well, we're not going to take any money for 2 years after writing these guidelines. That way we can abolish the conflict. I don't really think that gets rid of the conflict. I think they are biased if they have been paid at all at any time in their career by drug companies whose best interest it is to treat their shareholders and get as many people on their medicines as possible. There was a famous quote from the CEO of Merck many years ago where he said something to the effect of, I would like our company to be more like Wrigley's, where everybody in the world is on our medicine just like they are chewing gum. I want to treat everybody. I don't want anybody to not go without our wonderful drugs. And it's gotten to the point where His fantasy has almost come true that most people are put on medicines. So how do I determine if someone really needs to be on a statin or a cholesterol-lowering medicine for the rest of their life? Well, I have to start looking at risks. And we've all heard enormous numbers of risk factors. Every day there's a new risk factor coming out that is linked to heart disease. There's probably over 100 risk factors. And so people think a risk factor is actually, oh my God, I've got this risk factor, I have the disease. They make this connection that a risk factor is actually causation, where in fact a risk factor is only just an association. That's right, just an association, a mathematical study was looked at and they were able to link A to B. So they were able to see that more people with gray hair had heart disease, so thus gray hair is a risk factor. If you have gray hair at the age of 20, does that mean, oh my God, I need to go on a statin because I'm going to get heart disease? No. Does it mean that if you dye your hair and get rid of the gray, your risk has gone away? No. It's just a mathematical study. So you can have two risk factors. You can have three risk factors. You can have four risk factors. That doesn't necessarily mean you have this so-called disease, heart disease or atherosclerosis. So don't be so freaked out about having risk factors. There are some risk factors that I think are important, and I'll share a few of them. I think the first risk factor I look at it is hard to miss, and that is what part of the patient's body comes in the exam room first. And many times their belly gets through the door before the rest of them. And if I see a big belly, that is a huge risk factor, because that big belly basically kind of transforms into an endocrine organ secreting all sorts of terrible chemicals, or what are called cytokines, that are inflammatory messages that just kind of wreak havoc on our body. And so that big belly really is a huge risk factor. The other risk factor I look at and I respect is high blood pressure. If someone has high blood pressure, that is definitely something that needs to be addressed, because high blood pressure is potentially damaging the walls of people's arteries. The third one I look at is, do they smoke or do they not smoke? We know pretty well now in 2014 that if you smoke, you're more likely to get heart disease or a heart attack. And it's really the smoke that's doing it. It's not necessarily nicotine. So I try and teach people that nicotine is not the enemy. It's all the chemicals in the smoke that is damaging their arteries. And then the last thing I look at is their hemoglobin A1C, and that is a number which measures how sticky your red blood cells are or how much sugar you've had in the last 90 days. So it's not just a one-time sugar reading, it's looking at what they've been eating for the last 90 days. And so that, to me, is more of a tell of what's going on in their body underneath the surface than just their cholesterol number. The cholesterol number itself, you know, half of the time, when we look at people that have had heart attacks, half of the time they have normal cholesterol, half of the time they don't. So that's pretty much a coin toss. It is not a very good determination of who's going to get the disease by looking at just their cholesterol. So again, I look at the belly, can't miss it. I look at blood pressure, I look at smoking, and their blood sugars. Those are more important to me than their cholesterol levels. Now, one thing I just want to mention about hemoglobin A1C is a lot of people, if they don't have diabetes yet, they kind of feel like, oh, I'm fine. I can wait. I don't need to worry about it. I don't have to change my lives. But when you look at people with abnormal blood sugars, it's almost like looking at an iceberg. If you see an iceberg, you're really just seeing the tip of it that's sticking out of the water. And about 90% of it, or even 95%, is below the water. You don't really see what's going on. And that's kind of what's happening in people that are on their way to being diabetic. They're pre-diabetic. They have all this damage going on in their system that's kind of lurking underneath the water, and you can't really see it. And you have sugar sticking to all the proteins in the body, damaging their kidneys, their nerves, their arteries, their eyes. And we're kind of just sitting and waiting for this number to be reached where we can say, oh, you're diabetic now, we should care about it. So I really kind of get very aggressive when somebody's hemoglobin A1C is just even in the pre-diabetic range. So the take-home message is basically have a conversation with your doctor. Say, listen, I know I have high cholesterol, but what is my real risk? Let's go through the numbers. And I don't necessarily want to be on this medicine if I don't have to be. And those are the risk factors that I think are important, that should be looked at, talked about before you commit to going on a medicine for the rest of your life. I'm Dr. Larry Kaskel, the Healthy Skeptic on Radio MD, reminding you to never let anyone do your thinking for you. And stay skeptical, my friends, and stay well.